Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're on day two here this week, looking at the gospel reading the church gives us this morning, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. And remember, just yesterday, it was the dramatic scene in which Jesus is in the synagogue in his hometown. And for the first time, as he stands up to do the Torah portion, the reading from the scroll of Isaiah, he reads the beautiful passage where the prophetic anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, what the Messiah would be like. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, to announce the year of the Lord's favor." And then he said, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing," this Isaiah passage. And then we talked yesterday just about how first there was an amazing response, positive response. And then people said, "Well, wait a minute. This is Joseph's son. He's from the neighborhood. Who does he think he is?" And then all broke loose at that point. If you didn't have a chance to hear the program yesterday, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to it there or just download it from the archive here at Ave Maria Radio as well, if you want to. So he leaves the synagogue and his ministry begins. That moment on the Sabbath was really Jesus' declaration, really is the king's here. The kingdom's now here. I'm bringing the kingdom of God and the power of the kingdom of God, the new life of the kingdom of God. The revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is going to start unfolding now in Jesus's ministry as he goes forward. And so here's almost immediately after that scene in the synagogue, goes on and says, Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. Often in the Gospels, there's a contrast between the Pharisees and the Sadducees who talk a lot, but they don't have that kind of authority. They don't speak with that kind of power and clarity. In the synagogue, there was a man with a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Isn't that amazing? So he just left a week earlier, as far as we can tell, his hometown, where those who knew him, many of them were saying, "Well, who do you think you are?" And then they tried to throw him off a cliff. And at least in the sequence of readings that we have at the moment, who's the first to really acknowledge who Jesus is? It was a demon. The demons know. They know who Jesus is. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." They're scared to death of him. And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing any harm to him. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. What we're seeing here is a collision of the kingdoms. Kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of Satan. There are human beings in this world. Even today, there are human beings in the world for one reason or another have opened themselves up to demonic power and demonic slavery there's all kinds of doorways that can happen in a person's life, through the occult, through certain kinds of experiences with drugs, through mortal sin. All kinds of things can become doorways if one opens their heart and gives access to demonic spirits. It happened then, it happens today. And what Jesus manifested here, what he clearly demonstrated, is the power of the kingdom. He said he's coming to preach the kingdom of God. He's coming to bring the kingdom. He's bringing the kingdom of God, friends, to the kingdom of this world. It's a collision of the power of God and the powers that are in the world that are resisting God. the kingdom of darkness that's enslaving human beings. And Jesus is coming to destroy the power of that kingdom over human hearts and to make a way for freedom and salvation for human beings, not only to come into greater freedom in this life, but to literally pass from one kingdom to another, to come out from under the rule of sin and death, which everybody is born into. Jesus breaks that regime of power and transfers us, as Peter and others said, to his kingdom, the kingdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, I'm just amazed at how, just in Luke's account as he's unfolding it, that what Jewish people in the synagogue couldn't recognize, and who can recognize who Jesus is without the help of the Holy Spirit, but from the spiritual realm, from the dark side, they understood the Holy One of God is here in the flesh. The power of the kingdom of God. The sacraments of the church, brothers and sisters, are so powerful, beginning obviously with baptism, the foundational sacrament, the means by which we become children of God. We move from enemies of God to become children of God. People enslaved to the powers of sin and death who come into the Jubilee, who come into victory, who come into freedom, and the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Friends, there's many things the church does and is called to do in the world. Many kinds of important service, caring for the poor, caring for the immigrant, the Beatitudes, engaging responsibly in the nations we live in, to participate in it, to live out our lives as husbands, wives, family, live out whatever vocations we have with full fidelity to the Lord. The fundamental thing the church has come to do and what God's people are anointed to do and called to do is participate in Jesus' work of salvation. This is the core and center of the mission. And I think sometimes we get confused. We can reduce the life and the mission of the church to saying, number one, just be a good person and be nice to people and help people and be a responsible citizen, attend church, be faithful to these kinds of things. Absolutely true. Those things are all very important. But what needs to be at the center of every disciple's heart is what was in Jesus' heart. And it's in his heart today. Jesus is the Savior. He's come to save. The same worldview that Jesus communicated and lived out on the earth, the apostles communicated, is the same biblical worldview we must live by. The most important thing that can ever happen to a human being is to come to terms with who Jesus is, to come to know him, to be baptized into him, to have their sins forgiven, to have the power of the world and the flesh and the devil broken over their lives. Just the kingdom disarms that principalities and powers in the life of Jesus on the cross, and that cross is meant to be applied to the life of every single person so they can be what? Set free. So their blindness can go away. They can see who God is, the love of the Father, that God is our Father, and that the love of God can be poured into their hearts through the Holy Spirit. And they can be, as the apostle said, born again. They can be given power now to become children of God, to enter into the freedom of the children of God, to enter into the body of Christ, the saved community, the community that's being saved by Jesus in time and space, but exists forever in him. Salvation is the number one priority in the mission of the church. There's been too much drifting away of that sense of urgency. And in that way, when the church lacks that urgency that we see in Jesus first and the apostles and the saints throughout history, we're absolutely passionate about it, sold out for it. But today, it's easy to be caught up in a kind of presumption that's in the world and in the church. Everybody's good. Everybody's fine as they are. As long as people are just consciously kind of following their own bliss and trying to be a mensch and a good person, that's all that's needed. That's not a biblical worldview. That kind of presumption kills the mission that we're seeing Jesus walk, and it takes away, it weakens it so much. It dilutes it. And it takes away the burning fire of the passion that's in the heart of Jesus Christ to save every human being from the powers of sin and death and eternal darkness, and to bring them into freedom, to salvation. It's critical that your heart and mine resonate and come into unity with the heart of Jesus. Presumption that everybody's saved, presumption that the world is mostly made up of good people and good people go to heaven and good people are in a good place, it's not a biblical understanding of the human condition. And to believe that necessarily leads to, in most situations, a lack of a zeal to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus to the people who need it most. It's our destiny. It's our calling. And you see Jesus communicates it to his friends, and they want to throw him off a cliff. Then he goes out, and he preaches it, an enslaved human being. We don't know how he got demonized, but he was demonized. He was really under the power of the dominion of the devil in a significant way. And as Jesus began to preach, he shakes up the demons when Jesus comes, because it's Jesus alone and the power of his kingship, the power of who he is. It's his word alone and his actions that drive out the kingdom of darkness. Human beings can't do it on their own strength. So the demons knew, and they began to speak, and they identified who he is. They confessed out loud, "You're the Holy One of God." Whether our sophisticated, super technical society wants to live as if there is no such thing as this, no kingdom of darkness, no demonic world, that it's all kind of just that old, it's part of a limited way of thinking that was part of centuries back when people didn't know better. It was a way of communicating and talking about it. No, it's the same reality. I mean, we've seen in our own ministry, I mean, we've got exorcists in the church who are sent on behalf of the bishop and the authority of the church in the name of Jesus to set captives free, people who are possessed by demonic spirits. We've seen in many places around the world in our ministry, here in the United States and other places, people who have various dimensions of being under the dominion and the power of demons. And we've seen them being set free. The ultimate reality of what's happening on the earth is the same battle that Jesus is now stepping into, as Luke gives us this account now of Jesus going forward, bringing the kingdom power to bear in a world that's enslaved to the powers of sin and death. He brings the new reality of the kingdom, and he fulfills his promise to set captives free. Blessed be God. May we walk with that kind of belief in Jesus' purpose for all of us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.